G'day everyone, this is B. Jamine, aka The Terrible Aussie, and before we get to the latest episode of the podcast, we here at the Super Network would like to send a very special thank you to the Trash Panda Podcast for being our latest subscribers on the Super Network Patreon. Thank you so much for the support, guys. It really means the world to us, and Marcy and I deeply and utterly appreciate it. Once again, thank you. And now, on to the show.
The following podcast is a Super Network production with your hosts, Super Marcy.
Look at it, it's so cute.
The terrible Australian, B. Jamine.
As Nicolas Cage, I should have played Tom Sawyer in this movie. But then they asked me and I was like, that's too typical of a role. I actually want to play the role of the submarine.
It contains coarse and explicit language.
That was a at the time.
Mature themes.
I mean, if the octopus in Aquaman can do it, so can Adam Sandler.
And potential spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
For more, please visit supermarcy.com and show your support at patreon.com/thesupernetwork. Enjoy the show.
G'day everyone, this is B. Jamine, aka The Terrible Aussie, and welcome to episode 161 of the Super Podcast. And with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy. How are you?
Well, hello, hello. We are back once again on the Super Podcast, and I'm very excited for our show today.
Indeed, indeed. And it's hard to believe now, Marcy, we're at 161 episodes, regular episodes, I should say,
yes,
of the Super Podcast.
I mean, it would be like 5,000 if we numbered our audio commentaries, but we do not because we're weird. But that's how we roll.
Exactly. Mm. It's hard to believe we've made it this far, but you know, we've been doing this for so long. Mm. We're eventually going to get up to this number at some point. But anyways, yes, this is our first kind of non-audio commentary edition of Super Podcast in a little while. Mm. And we have quite the jam-packed episode tonight, Marcy, because we have not one, but two very special guests joining us.
Yes, and two very special guests who get a cherry popping because they've never been on this podcast before.
Indeed. Pop. But anyways,
Babe, that's a pop. Pop.
Oh, good point. Pop, pop. There we go. they, of course, are guys who are making their first ever appearance on any of our shows, so this is very exciting. And first up, of course, is our Buddy Watson. Hello, Buddy. How are you?
How you going, Bede? It's good to be able to pop my cherry on the Super Network, and yes. nothing better than a good old cherry popping. So here I am,
feeling indeed, good
and sore.
Indeed, indeed, because you know I do like to pop cherries on this show, but that's beside the point. But anyways,
are you gentle though, Bede, or are you rough? I don't know,
Marcy. You know I'm always gentle when it comes to cherry popping
that's
on this
what
show.
You say, but we know the truth.
but we're very happy that you're here with us, Buddy, to make your debut appearance on this episode. And our other guest, of course, is the host of the very awesome podcast, Take My Tone, and that, of course, is Simon Blackburn. Hello, Simon, how are you?
The cherry bomb. As soon as you said you're going to be popping cherries, that yes. song from a film popped into my head.
Indeed, indeed. So there's,
I'm doing well.
Yes. Well, we're glad that you both you guys are here on this very show. And there's a very good reason for that, because for this one, since Marcy, we haven't done a music related episode in quite a while. And we thought, you know what, we need the experts when it comes to music on the show, and that's why we asked our good friends Buddy and Simon to come on this show.
I thought I was the music expert.
Yeah, but you're a music expert in a completely different way, though.
When using the term music experts, definitely I would agree that Simon is 100% a music expert, musician, music podcast, Take My Tone, very good at describing and analyzing all the nuances that come with music and music production, very keen and learn listener and ear, but definitely me, no, definitely not me in that conversation. I'm not a music expert at all. I just like music and like movies, so I think I got here by default. Simon, you are the true expert. I'm just riding off your coattails, I think.
Yes.
But the thing is, I need help on this show because everyone here, I feel like watch a good amount of films, but you three collectively watch so many more films. And so I feel like with this topic that we're about to announce, it was a bit of a struggle for me, like trying to think back to like all the possible films that I've seen and how this relates to music. But I won't spoil that topic yet. If you want to, I guess, reveal what we're talking about here, Bede.
Indeed. And for tonight's episode of the Super Podcast, we're going to be counting down our top three favorite songs from movies. Now, we sort of had to figure out what the criteria of the songs we were going to pick.
We had to sort out the criteria very loosely, because yes. I feel like it was you that just sorted out the criteria.
Yeah, well, that's
very difficult for some of us.
Well, that too. But then, of course, I had suggestions not to go in that direction. But but so basically what we decided to do is, when it came to picking our top threes, we would pick songs from films that are either songs that were written specifically for films or songs that were pretty much appeared in films. So stuff like musicals or well-known songs can be chosen for this top three, but especially original songs as well. We'll get straight to it with our top three. Marcy, since I like to pick on you on occasion, give us your number three favorite movie song.
All right, so I don't know if particularly like my top three is really in any specific order, so I'm going to try my best. So in what I've picked, like, I am probably not as big of a musical fan as you are, Bede. Mm-hmm. But when there is a musical that I really like or really love, like, it connects to me on a deep and meaningful level. So I've gone with a song from the fantastic musical Chicago. And I think that is just a fantastic film. It's got a lot of great songs in that film. But I've gone with the Cell Block Tango. He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I bet you you would have done the same. Six flesh. Because look, really, is there a better song about women who have killed men? No. Because they had it coming.
But not only that, Marcy, they also almost got away with it too.
They almost got away with it, but they had it coming. That's the important thing.
I think I might be collectively murdered on this podcast by you three because I haven't seen Chicago.
Oh.
Simon.
Well,
But my friend, Simon.
I have research to do.
Please, you need to see.
I'm going to come away from this with at least a handful of songs that I need to see in situation.
You really need to watch Chicago. It's such a good film. It's such a good example of how a musical works in such a grand way. I just think it's fantastic. And Bede, I know we haven't mentioned this fact for quite some time on the podcast, but you did perform in a musical stage version in Khobar of Chicago, playing the lead role that Richard Gere plays in the film.
I did. And of course, I played Billy Flynn, and I had like not one, not two, but three musical numbers in that entire show. And like, even when you just picked this song for this movie, Marcy, now all the songs I had learnt for like 6 months in the lead up to the first show are just ringing in my head right now, and I can pretty much still remember most of my songs word to word. But the Cell Block Tango, though, my character didn't sing this song, but I did. But in the stage version I was in, I actually was one of the murdered husbands in like a quick little scene, because I had to play at least two characters in the stage production.
You had it coming.
I did. And I'm not saying this. Indeed. It is a great song, Marcy. Like, it is a great choice, because that both the musical itself and the movie is full of great songs. And doing the show itself, like, made me appreciate it very, like, the whole show even more so. But that song in particular, like, is just so very well done, because it kind of really does kind of sum up the whole kind of tone of the movie.
It does, and it's just a spectacular piece in the film with that song and how they play everything out. Like, it's just Chef's kiss. Mwahaha.
Indeed, absolutely. Indeed.
But, Buddy, have you seen the movie? Do you know the song?
I don't know the song, and I actually haven't seen Chicago, so...
Okay, well, I'm on the, used to. I'm on the as well. Used to.
You call yourself a film buff.
Used to, I'm going to watch this movie, and I don't care if I have to make you sit down on your computers and stream it for you. It's happening.
Indeed.
Meanwhile, and Bede could probably just reenact it for you with his skills as having been in the play. So there you go.
Live performance. I reckon we all learn a part that's not Bede's part, and then we like all like we do like a watch along, but it's actually a sing along. We have the scripts in our hands, the songs.
Play at home. Play at home. Yeah. I like it.
I'm done.
Exactly. Because you know, Marcy, I do like to razzle dazzle.
The razzle dazzle Bede. Yes.
Well, actually, my favorite song for that whole movie was, what was the song? It was my second song
Your favorite song, you don't remember what it is in the movie, play, musical. Get Out.
Oh, We Both Reach for the Gun. That was my favorite song in the whole show. Because that was the song I was most terrified of doing for the show. And it ended up being my, because there's a lot of different, like, vocal changes and shifts in that whole song. And it ended up being my absolute favorite one to perform during the live, like the stage show. And and if you go to my Facebook, you will be able to find that video. I'm along up with other songs that I sing from that show. But
looking it up right now.
I may even put that as an audio clip at the very end of this episode. But we shall see.
Love a tasty treat. Yes.
Indeed. But yeah, that's a great number three for you, Marcy. But Buddy, tell us your number three favorite movie song.
I don't know if mine are ordered, but yeah, we'll see. I'm just gonna go with this this semi order that I've got here. My number three is "Shallow" by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper from A Star Is Born in 2018. I'm absolutely a massive Lady Gaga fan ever since the early days when it was just like Just Dance and that first album that like really broke through and this kind of like disco pop sensation. And then kind of through the year, she's kind of evolved into a little bit of a like a ballad master doing her older style songs. Who does she collaborate with? That's Tony
Bennett.
No. Tony Bennett, she does the albums with him, so she's got quite a range, and this one in The Shallow, and also the movie, and then the duet with Bradley Cooper, and I think he kind of holds his own in this song as well, but just after like Bradley Cooper's verse, and just the way she does that kind of like, that like harmonizing and kind of showing her like vocal range, hitting this like high notes, and oh man, it's just awesome. It's a song that I find myself singing over and over any time of day, often. Just out of nowhere, and I actually, one of my favorite karaoke songs to do is The Shallow, and I actually do both parts, but I'd prefer to do the Lady Gaga part if I could find a Bradley Cooper. But yeah, I just think it's fantastic, shows her range, and then you combine it with its use in the movie and the performance live on stage, and kind of this rag to riches story, and then the everything tragic that happens in the end. It just hits on another level. Love The Shallow.
Yeah, it is such a great song, that, and it's funny, even though like it's been a few years since that song has come out, you'd think like since how overplayed the song was, you'd think everyone would be sick of it, but no, it's still such a great and fantastic song. And even though, yeah, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's like vocal ranges are so different, they complement each other so well in that song. And also Lady Gaga, I mean, I've been like you, Buddy, I've been a fan of her since the very beginning. And it's interesting kind of seeing from her very dance pop roots, seeing how she's challenged herself vocally. And she's definitely up there as one of the best singers today. Like, she's just got an amazing voice. And I think Shallow, in particular, really shows off the range of her vocal abilities as a singer.
Yep, 100%.
And Simon, what about yourself? What did you think of the song Shallow?
Oh, I mean, it's a highly captivating film anyway. So, like, just them together on screen, like, music aside is great, and then that just lifts it to a whole new level. So, and it really helped solidify like Gaga's acting chops as well, to the point that she's like, you know, the best part of an average film in House of Gucci. Do you know what I mean? It's just kind of like I now look forward to her as an actor and not just like the person in the film that can sing, sort of thing. So yeah, it was sort of like, I felt like quite a milestone achievement for her. So great. I mean, all the songs in it are great, but that's a particular standout from memory.
And what about yourself, Marcy?
It's terrible. No, I'm kidding. no, I adore Lady Gaga. She is like my chronic pain, twin, I'll say, even though we're like nothing alike or whatever. Doesn't matter. She knows the struggle I go through, except she has lots of money and can deal with it better. Lady Gaga, if you ever listen to this, send me some money so I can get better. But
indeed.
Yes. But that song is just, it's a beautiful song, and the way they perform it, like, honestly, it's just so raw and beautiful. And it's a fabulous choice for songs from films. Like, I was hoping someone would actually have it on their list because it is such a fantastic song. And I just want to say House of Gucci is just amazing for all the wrong reasons, but I wish it was a musical. Anyway.
It's
be with like Jared Leto.
Jared Leto. I'm going to be eating spaghetti and meatballs and talking about Lady Gaga.
And my groins, or whatever he was talking about, I can't remember.
Exactly.
My groins are on fire.
I tell you what, the funniest thing about that is, so like, he plays, in the Apple TV Plus series, We Crashed, he plays like the guy that created WeWork, right? Who's from Israel, and so like has an accent. And I saw that, I watched that series first, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, like he does a good, decently convincing job at the accent and stuff and that. And then when I saw House of Gucci, which was filmed and released before that series came out, I was just like, oh shit, he's essentially doing like a super, like, it's either like his House of Gucci performance, and then you actually like water it right down and make it like somewhat realistic and not cartoonish. Or the other way around, where it's just like the House of Gucci one's just like a super amplified version of this. And even though it's like, you know, he's playing, you know, doing an Italian accent and like an Israeli accent, he acts very much the same. It's just like at different levels. And so it kind of like almost sort of ruined that series for me a bit, because I was like, oh, he's like a cartoon character in this one, and this one he's trying to be convincing. So, but he's doing the same like da 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 and the like same hand gestures and everything. So,
what are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Capisce. Anyways, but Simon.
All the Italian subscribers unsubscribe.
Yes. Italian people, I'm Italian, you stay subscribed, it's fine.
But Simon, since you are a resident music expert, tell us, what is your number three favorite movie song?
Well, this whole exercise in general was really quite hard, because it's kind of like, oh yeah, I had sort of some go-to off things off the head. I can think of films, and then over the course of the past couple of days, it's like, oh yeah, this film and this film, and I felt like I was diving into soundtracks, and unfortunately some of them I end up diving into, I was like, oh, I really loved the music in this, and it ended up being more of like an instrumental score. So there's things that should be my honorable mentions, but things like The Proposition and Assassination of Jesse James is like Nick Cave, and there's actually, it's a lot of it's instrumental, so I couldn't really include it, even though I wanted to. But yeah, so then I sort of flipped to the other side. I thought, okay, well, an easy one to think through is just some of these classic animated films, right? And I guess kind of like Marcy sort of gave us a sneak peek at some of hers in the chat before this, and when she labeled one of hers, I was like, oh, that's an animated film. Okay, cool. So that sort of like almost got me onto that way of thinking. So my favorite animated film of all time is the original Aladdin. That film is jam-packed with all-time classic songs, but for me, it has to be Friend Like Me from Aladdin.
And I'll say, Mr. Alamza, what will your pleasure be? Let me take your order, jot it down. You ain't never had a friend like me. Life is your restaurant, and I'm your manager. Come on, whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Yes, sir.
We pride ourselves on service.
You're the boss, the king, the shy. Say what you wish, it's yours, true dish. About a little more baklava.
Just Robin Williams at his peak, like voice work, incredibly dynamic song, catchy, and just like that paired with just how wild the animation sequence is just, yeah, it etched in my mind from a child.
Oh yeah, that is such a great pick. And like, it's a not so obvious one too, because a lot of people, of course, would go with, you know, A Whole New World, since that's kind of like the big Oscar winning song from that film. But A Friend Like Me is, I would say, is one of the best songs in the entire film. And that's a film that's full of great songs.
Yeah.
But that one in particular, again, kind of shows, you know, Robin Williams, how much range he has as a singer as well. And one of the things, I guess, going back to my time in Chicago that made me appreciate musicals even more is the ability to act through song. And that his, you know, vocal performances, A Friend Like Me, really kind of, he goes at that like it is just his performance, like throughout the rest of the film. Like, it's just goes into, it shows off his range as an actor and just shows his, what he can do, like switching voices or playing different characters within that song. And it's just, and it's just brilliant. Mm. And it just, you know, just shows us how much of a great actor he was, and also a great singer too.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'm not crying or anything, just thinking about poor Robin Williams. Not at all. Oh, but it is, no, it's a, Aladdin is awesome, and that whole song and sequence is awesome. So I'm very glad to see some Aladdin love on a list on this episode. Now I'm singing the song in my head.
Cool.
Yeah. And what about yourself, buddy? What do you think of A Friend Like Me?
Oh, Aladdin's a great movie. Friend Like Me is great. I'm more partial to A Whole New World. I also love like the opening song when they're going over the desert.
The chase sequence?
No, like out in the desert.
Oh, the actual very opening.
Arabian Nights,
yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah. Arabian Nights.
Arabian Nights, yeah.
Darkish that is. So yeah, Aladdin's a great movie. One of the best animated movies of all time.
Yeah.
Great soundtrack.
Awesome.
Yeah, love it.
Hell yeah.
What about you, Bede? What's your number three?
Yeah.
All right, I had to really think about this. I actually like A Friend Like Me. I'm picking a song from a film that's has probably one of the great soundtracks of the 90s and is still up there as probably one of the still the best-selling soundtracks of all time. And it's jam-pack of so many songs, but there's one in particular, I think, from this one, this soundtrack, that not many people kind of talk about, and I think it's just as great as the other songs that are featured on there. So my number three pick is the song Run to You by Whitney Houston from The Bodyguard.
Have a whole thing of crying because like people have passed away and they're amazing singers, because I'm gonna have one of those in my like honorable mentions and I'm already like, you know.
Well, I think I love Whitney Houston. Oh, to me, she is, yes, without a doubt,
Queen
one
Whitney
of the greatest.
Thank you.
Exactly, Queen Whitney. She's up there as one of the greatest singers of all time. I mean, there have been a lot of great singers since, but none have ever matched the vocal abilities that Whitney Houston has delivered. And the Bodyguard soundtrack is definitely up there as some of her finest work. Like, every song on that whole soundtrack is amazing. Like, of course, you know, like I Will Always Love You and a few others. But the song Run to You, which was nominated for an Oscar, is such a beautiful, simple song. And it just sort of builds and builds and builds. And then it sort of, she sort of softly sings it throughout the first two verses. And then once she gets to the final part of that song and really sort of goes gutso with her vocal abilities. And it's just so powerful. And it just really tugs at the heartstrings. And it is such a beautiful song as well. And it's a shame to me it doesn't get as talked about as other songs from that soundtrack. But I mean, granted, by the time the song was released as a single, the soundtrack had sold millions upon millions, and, you know, everyone already had the song anyway, so there was no point in, you know, releasing it as a solo single. But even then, I think people should go give Run to You a listen. It's just an absolutely beautiful and moving song.
It's Queen Whitney, and exactly. She can sing anything.
Definitely.
To perfection. So, yeah. It's been a long time since I've, like, even watched that film and listened to the songs. But, yeah, no, it's a very, like, just of a song. Like, listen to it if you haven't heard it. If you haven't seen The Bodyguard, like, yeah, it's an alright movie. It's got Whitney in it. It's got Kevin Costner. It's not too bad. You know, it's not as important to watch it as Chicago.
Exactly. But Buddy and Simon, have you guys heard of Run to You? Or is it one that's kind of evaded, as it has for a lot of people as well?
I would have heard it watching The Bodyguard, but then I haven't seen The Bodyguard since I was probably that age watching The Bodyguard, or my nan and pop would have been the ones that have rented that out. I remember watching that. So I think I would have been like, what, 92, 93?
Yeah.
I'm maybe like 7 at the time, so there's no real recollection of it outside of like always hearing I was, you know, whatever her other song is,
I Will Always Love
Always
You.
Love You. Yeah, that's right.
Always Love You. Feel the bromance, Buddy and Bede, the two
that's
beads.
Right, yeah. I'll serenade you next time.
Yes.
So yeah, it doesn't immediately like any recollection, but yeah, Bodyguard from memory. The only thing I really think I remember from the Bodyguard is I'll Always Love You. So I think that's the same with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think because that song is
that the movie with the water fountain, or is that, am I mixing it up? Is there a water fountain in The Bodyguard?
I don't.
It's the movie with The Bodyguard.
isn't there like a sequel? Isn't there like a
No,
that's like the Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yeah, I'm thinking, are you thinking of a Hitman's Bodyguard?
No, I haven't. That is way older than that. The Bodyguard. I've got to look this up. Bodyguard 2, 2007. What the fuck? No, that's way different. Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm going off on a tangent here. No, I've seen the film in parts a long time ago. I can't exactly remember the song Run to You. But I just saw a little thumbnail of the video with it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is kind of making sense. I kind of know what you're getting into with Whitney Houston. Like, it's gonna be like vocal perfection. So I definitely take your word for it there. And of course, I Will Always Love You is one of the biggest love songs of all time. So yeah, I'm sure it is worthy of number three.
But we'll move right along to round two. And Marcy, what is your number two favorite movie song?
Yeah, this is like, it's so tough because there are just so many that I really love. But it's no secret, if people know me, or at least know me well enough, I'm a big fan of the James Bond movies, despite how misogynist they are and ridiculous. One of the things I love about watching a Bond film, and I think it started with more so like Goldfinger, was sort of having the theme song with like a really cool credit sequence. And from when I first heard the song and watching it on the big screen and seeing the song with the credits, like, I was blown away. And I still think it's just an incredible song that somehow... The lyrics are just kind of, I don't know, they kind of work in a weird way. But I have gone with Skyfall from Skyfall, as sung by Adele. Let the sky fall and it crumbles, we will stand tall and face it all together. Think it's such, the whole thing, it just such this build up, and it really, like, in the context of the film, when you hear it with the opening credit scenes, like, you know you're gonna be in for something like full on. And this was like, was it the 50th or something, or 60. I can't even remember. Some kind of anniversary for Bond.
I believe Skyfall it might have been was. It was the 50th anniversary. Mm. Yeah.
So you know that this was going to be like a really big film, and they needed like such a big song. And I think it is. It could be. I think one of the, if not the best song from a Bond film. But it is so hard to choose because there are so many great ones. There are others that aren't as great. But look, I just think, at least for me personally, the impact it had on me, that I was listening to it like on repeat. And I still get like goosebumps when I watch the film, because it's just, it hits. It really hits. And Skyfall was just brilliant. Yes. Adele, serenade me at Skyfall.
Cool. And what do you think of the song Skyfall, Simon?
Yeah, I mean, Skyfall is the best Bond film, full stop. And Skyfall theme is the perfect opener for that film. So I don't delve too heavily into which Bond theme I prefer over another. I just remember when it hit, when I saw it like in the cinema, I'm like, it just sets the tone. And yeah, so she pulled it off like perfectly. And I can always, yeah, and it's like the title of the film is in the chorus of the song, and it's very easy for it to just pop in your head sort of thing. And it's very grandiose, and if making full, you know, Adele has incredible range. So yeah, I'd say that's definitely right up there.
And what about yourself, buddy?
Love Skyfall, absolute banger. Like someone was saying, it's probably one of the best Bond films as well. But yeah, you summed it up. It's like grandioso, orchestral, like most of the Bond themes as well, throwing in its kind of signature Bond theme underlying into the kind of the like sonically to it as well. And the way Adele, like how powerful her lyrics are, but then there's like a kind of like somberness that she delivers in the song, and it kind of like marries up with the, you know, the events that happen in Skyfall, and
how
an ending that is.
Goosebumps now, you've been just saying that, like
but funny that you're saying like Goldfinger totally. Before Goldfinger, absolutely great opening credit sequence, and Goldfinger's a great song as well. But funnily enough, I feel like this is a good time to mention one of my honorable mentions, because it is also a Bond theme, because you can have so many of these Bond themes. There are so many great themes, particularly in the last 4 years. Four Bond films, sorry, not 4 years. But my favorite Bond theme is actually, well, Simon, did you come up with a guess? I kind of teased it to you before. Do you have any kind of guess? I said it was a bit of a surprise.
Well, I don't think it'll be Billie Eilish, because I know that you like her. I feel like it'd be something. Is it the... Oh, fuck, what's his name?
No.
Is it Chris Cornell? That would be like a random pick.
No, it's not. Anyone want to have a crazy guess at what my favorite Bond theme is for weird reasons?
Ooh.
Is it Thunderball?
No, it's from the
I'm thinking Brosnan era. From who? Brosnan?
Yeah.
Is it Madonna?
It's Madonna, baby.
I was going to say, that was my other thought.
The world is not enough.
No, no, Die Another Day. It's just an
Die Another Day. Well, yeah,
electro banger, just the violins in it. And the film clip of Madonna like being thrown in an interrogation room. She's looking all buff in her singlet and getting beaten up down. And then the fencing, and they're in the museum of nostalgia with the odd job hat, the golden gun. And it's just, I reckon that song holds up so good right now if you listen to it. But yeah, Madonna.
The thing is, I think that was pretty...
Yeah,
I think it's pretty smart of you to like say that to me. Like, you know, you won't guess it because I'm just so focused on the Daniel Craig era. It's just like I, even though I full well know the Madonna song, it didn't pop into my mind. So, yeah, good call.
That's right.
And buddy, what is your number two song?
Oh shit! yeah, I've got sidetracked there with Madonna. Number two. What order? Well, like I said, I'm not really in order, but this is from more of a recent animated film as well, one of the best animated films of all time, I would say, that has a sequel coming up, that's coming up in two parts.
I know what you're talking about.
And it's from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and it's Sunflower from Post Malone and Smiley.
Oh, nice.
And
then you're left in the dust, unless I stuck by you. You're a sunflower, I think your love would be too much, or you'd be left in the dust, unless I stuck by.
It's just an absolutely awesome, upbeat, really feels like such a great summery song. If I've ever got like a summer playlist or something, or a really good vibe or chilled out playlist, I feel like I'm going to throw this in. It's easy to just sing along to and bop to, and it's great implementation in the film as well. But yeah, Sunflower is just so such a good vibe. Love it.
Yeah, that song is... Me?
No.
Like you're just good.
I was gonna say, like, that that is a great song, and like you say, buddy, it just has that great summer vibe to it. Like, the song is all vibes from beginning to end, but whenever you listen to it, maybe because it's called Sunflower, but you just kind of get that summery vibe to it, and it's just so relaxing and chill, and it's just a great song, that one.
I think it's probably the only... It's good that Buddy brought it up, because it's probably the only instance that I've appreciated something that Post Malone has done, and that is because it's in the Spider-Verse film. So I was kind of like, it suits well in the film, but I don't really give two shits about the artist, but like, the film is so good. So it works.
And what about yourself, Marcy?
No One Kill Me. I haven't seen the movie yet because...
Oh,
I haven't seen it.
You're for a treat. You're for a treat.
Yeah, I know. Now it's actually my turn to be like, what the fuck have you seen this, bitch? Yeah, I've only seen it in bits, and I have so much other stuff that I need to watch for like the billion podcasts we do that it's like on the list to watch, and then I never get to the list to watch. So it will be there, but I have heard the song, so I know what it is, and it is pretty lovely. These are my basic thoughts.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, Marcy, now that since we're talking about it, you'll have to go watch the movie.
I have to. I have no choice.
Maybe we might have to do a podcast on it. Maybe we might have to do an audio commentary on it, like animated films or something like that.
Yeah, but see, I want to watch it and concentrate on it, not like try and do a commentary and talk over it and then not have any idea what's going on.
Well, that is true.
It deserves my undivided attention, especially as there is a sequel coming out next year or the year after or something.
Next year, I think.
Is it next year?
Yeah, next year. Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed. And Simon, what is your number two song?
Number two song. Now, given everyone's talking about Tom Cruise films lately, obviously we'd like Top Gun and things like that. Now, this isn't from Top Gun, but this is from Mission Impossible. I love the Mission Impossible franchise. I love all the films. This song actually comes from what I regard as, in my mind, easily the least best of the Mission Impossible films, being Mission Impossible 2.
Mission Impossible 2 is a classic for the wrong reasons.
The virus's name is LimeWire in the film, I'm pretty sure. What? Unbelievable. The virus that, like, in Mission Impossible 2, it's called LimeWire.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So anyway, no.
You probably downloaded this song.
It's good, but I just like the others a lot better. But the song, I had a pretty killer soundtrack anyway. But I still regard it as probably one of the best mosh songs of all time, and it has featured on Take My Time before, and it's Take a Look Around by Limp Bizkit. The Bizkit is rocking the set. It's like Russian roulette when you're placing your bet. So don't be upset when you're broke and you're done, because I'm going to be the one till I jet. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately. I know why you wanna hate me. I know why you wanna hate me. Hate me. Now I know why you wanna hate me. Cause hate is all the world has even seen lately. Now, this is on their album Chocolate Starfish and Hot Dog Flavored Water, but straight away you can tell, like, the riff is a riff version of the original Mission Impossible theme tune, very recognizable, and it just kicks absolute ass, just showcases Wes Borland's ability to hit you in the face with guitars, and it just suits that whole sort of high-octane nature of Mission Impossible and the crazy stunts that happen. So yeah, a certified banger from what I guess Tom Cruise is kind of shaping up to be, almost like the ultimate action hero. So yeah pretty cool.
I do have a lot of love for that song. Like, it definitely, I would say, is a guilty pleasure, but I think there is a lot of aspects of it that do work. I do love sort of their take on the Mission Impossible theme that they use throughout that song, and also bits of that sort of their version of it is actually sprinkled throughout the whole film as well. And I really sort of like sort of their take on it. And of course, you know, it's got, you know, Fred Durst putting in his trademark, like, you know, lyrics and all that, and talking about how tough he is and stuff like that. But, you know, that's what makes the song fun and a good listen as well. And it's a good opener for the soundtrack of that film.
I just remember, like, the first time I heard, like, in year 9 when it came out, and they were jamming it in, like, the in high school, some of the year 12s were, and I just remember, like, they had, like, indoor volleyball, and everyone just, like, you're feeling so badass, like, playing it, because it's just, like, particularly with the build-up of the Now I Know Why You Want to Hate Me, because hate is all the world's ever seen lately, I'm just like, fuck, this kicks ass, you know? So, like, I was, like, you know, skinny, dorky fucking kid, but at that brief moment in time, I was not.
And what about you, buddy? What do you think of this song?
Mission Impossible 2 sucks, especially after Mission Impossible 1. It had the opening credits, the iconic theme. It felt like a TV show translated into a film. But the absolute best part, outside of the motorbike fight scene at the end, is Limp Bizkit's theme, which is just an absolute banger and one of my favorite Limp Bizkit songs. And you're right, it absolutely slaps. And just even from start to finish, the theme is just so good. But yeah, they're probably better off.
Sorry, I'm glad that you agree with me with the film part, because I totally felt that too. I remember, like, rewatching it and being like, man, this opening feels so weird.
I reckon if you watch that series, like, all in one block now, it is, like, the absolute outlier of what doesn't feel like it has the genetics of a Mission Impossible film. If you take away, like, possibly the Mission Impossible branding and coming off following up Mission Impossible 1, in isolation, maybe it would be a bit better. I don't know how you do that or not, though, but I definitely feel like 3, they definitely, like, translated all the stuff that they wanted to back into it, the kind of the fake masks, the original theme, the opening credits showing the highlights of the actual film, a la TV show, but and they probably fixed that by not having some new metal version of the theme at the start. But I do love Take a Look Around.
Every film needs a new metal version at the start, right? That's my vote. I totally agree with what you mean. I think Mission Impossible 2, from a film, it was between that and then just, like, that fight sequence on the beach being so excessively long at the end. But yeah, that aside, song-wise, it does it for me.
See, and what about yourself, Marcy? I'm sorry, I know you love a little... I was going to say, Marcy, I know you must have appreciation for the song, because you and I, we love a little Limp Bizkit.
I love a little Limp Bizkit, and I always play it in my car when I'm with Devin Sauer, being directed by Fred Durst. But,
exactly.
I'm going to say, I have a love for Mission Impossible 2, because it is, really, it is a shit film, but it is so ridiculous and so fun, I will defend it for being that.
So you do totally agree that it does, like Buddy said, it does feel like it just doesn't sit.
It doesn't sit at all. I don't know. Did they just, like, was John Woo just unhinged, or was it, like, Tom Cruise interfere? I have no idea. But it's a mess. It's ridiculous. But it is so much fun. It's so stupid. But no, the song, it's Limp Bizkit. I really enjoy it. I can't, like, dislike it. Hell yeah. You know, Limp Bizkit, it was fundamental for me, and it's a classic. I think it's great, and it definitely works within the film, especially, like, when you hear the riffs and stuff. Like, it's really, really good. And then when you think about it, like, you know, who knew Fred Durst would direct the best movie ever made, starring John Travolta?
Oh, so we should have known that after watching his music video for Take a Look Around, since he directed all the band's music videos.
I know, it shouldn't be a surprise, but the fact that he could make perfection in The Fanatic is just, like, dude. Exactly.
Hey, he directed one of Korn's best video clips for Falling Away From Me, so he does have some jobs.
Exactly.
Yeah, watch The Fanatic. It's a pure brilliance.
Damn straight it is.
I wish. I could just include the random Limp Bizkit song that was in that movie for, like, 2 seconds, but I'm not going to do that. I think that was later Limp Bizkit, I think.
I think it was, because it clearly was not a song that anyone recognized from that film.
But it's referenced in the movie, and it is one of the best scenes ever. That doesn't include John Travolta, but anyway, I'll shut up.
Indeed.
Are we at number one already?
No, Bede's got to do number two.
Well, I
he's gonna do number two.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's funny that you're talking about. It's funny that you're talking about Fred Durst and that movie with John Travolta, and it's like Bede's got to do number two.
Oh, yes, I see what you did there, Simon. I see what you did there. So
say the line, Bede. Say the line, Bede.
I can't talk. I got to poo.
Yay!
But we'll move right along to my number two. Now, I think if anyone who knows me knows that I'm a huge horror fan.
Absolutely. No shit. I mean, sorry.
Yes. Huge horror fan. And if anyone ever asks me what my favorite horror franchise is, it's definitely the Friday the 13th films. And one of my favorite movie songs ever, and which is also my number two for this list, is from this franchise. And that, of course, is the song He's Back, The Man Behind the Mask by Alice Cooper.
Did you hear that voice? Did you see that face? Or was it just a dream? This can't be real, that only happens, babe, on the movie screen. Oh, but he's back. He's the man behind the mask. And he's out of control. He's back. The man behind the mask. And you crawl out of his home.
Yes.
And some old man Coop's in there.
Exactly. I love Alice Cooper. I mean, you know, he's a legend. He just, every song of his just kind of kicks ass. And one of the things I do love about this song, I really love it when Alice Cooper does a song, and well, granted, it's most of his songs, they always have kind of the horror tinge to them.
Mm.
And being that this is the main theme for the sixth Friday the 13th film, which is Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives, he really kind of goes full bore with the horror imagery within the song. And also what makes it interesting as a song, though, compared to other ones, is it's got more synth in it and keyboards rather than actual guitars. Like, there's only really a guitar solo, but for most of it, it's really just a keyboard slash synth kind of song. And it's also a lot of fun when you listen to it. It really fits the mood of the whole Friday the 13th franchise, particularly with the entry that it's in. And of course, you know, Alice Cooper is just going gutso with his vocals on that song. And it's just really catchy as well. It has a great hook to it. It's up there for me as probably one of the best horror songs and one that I always enjoy every time that it comes on the radio.
I mean, it is and a certified thing that
you say about the, it's interesting you're saying about like the lack of guitar and it being like synth and stuff. I mean, obviously, I mean, this says it came out in 86, so 80s is, you know, ripe with synths, but also it serves in the sense that Alice Cooper being one of, if not regarded, depending who you talk to, as the original shock rocker, right? Mm. And then it's kind of like, if he's leaning into that territory, that's almost like a precursor to your shot rockers that followed in terms of like industrial being very electronic heavy, and then you've got like Manson and things like that. So yeah, that is kind of interesting that he would, because yeah, prior to that is obviously very much like known for just like the hard rock sound. So that's kind of cool that he sort of like lent into that at that time.
Yeah, and also this was kind of a comeback song for him as well, because I know in the few years prior to this song's release, his career had dwindled a little bit, but when this song sort of came out, like, it wasn't a huge topper or anything like that, but being that it was part of the Friday the 13th franchise, it just gave him an entire new like audience who heard this song and kind of revitalized his career. And of course, one of the next album he made after the one he recorded with had this song in it was the album that featured the song Poison, which is probably, you know, one of his signature songs. And so I think in a lot of ways, he really kind of owes the Friday the 13th franchise, like the second wind of his career.
He said thank you to that by playing Freddy Krueger's father in one of the later Nightmare movies.
Indeed.
I mean, really they both have prominent noses, so probably work.
Exactly. But, exactly.
I think that's a great pick because it is a great tune. It's I don't know how to like describe, just like it just works for what it is. Like it's just it's just kind of fun. Like I think it's something I haven't heard it for a little while, but it is like I really like it. It's really fun. Like I like how we sort of had like these songs in like these horror franchises for some reason. It's like the you know, they're like serial killers, but we're giving them songs. Okay.
Exactly. And also, it's interesting, though, is that there's another version of this song out there, which is the demo version. And that one is actually a lot more rockier than this one. And actually, even though it does still use the same lyrics, but it's sung in a different key and it has a different arrangement, like in terms of how the lyrics are sort of sung in that version. But and people want to listen to it. It is out there. So it has been featured on, like, you know, compilation albums and stuff like that of Alice Cooper's career. But I'm kind of curious, buddy, I know you're a big horror fan as well. Have you heard of He's Back, the Man Behind the Mask?
I was like, I don't think I've heard this at all. And then I literally just put it on and I'm like, I've heard this. But yeah, I had no idea it was Alice Cooper or anything, but I think I've just heard this from the movie. So I would never have picked that it was Alice Cooper just from all the, like, the synth and just, like, being totally 80s. And even the guitar solo in there doesn't really scream Alice Cooper or some crazy band like that. So, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I didn't even know it was that person.
Yeah,
it's basically Alice Cooper doing New Wave, pretty much.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like it. It sounds up my alley.
And that's what I think it just, again, like, makes this song kind of stand out compared to all of his other songs, is because it has that kind of, like you guys said, it has that kind of New Wave sound to it. And probably another reason why the song has kind of gave him a second life as a musician in his career. And we'll move right along to our final round, which of course are our number one songs. And I'm going to be curious to see what everyone picked for these ones. And Marcy, what is your number one movie song?
Yeah, I was going to ask, actually, are we giving our honorable mentions before we do our individual number ones? Or
actually, you know what? We should do that. And then, so before you give us your number one, Marcy, what are some of your honorable mentions?
Yes. Look, I was actually going to mention, I cannot for the life of me think of what the song is called, because it is, it's German. And I don't know German, but and no one's gonna, I mean, Bede's seen this movie, but no one else freaking knows what it is. It's one of the songs from the German film Dach Fan. And it is I'm trying to think of the words. I cannot do it. It's, yeah, it's like synth electric. It's like a German new wave. Like, the whole soundtrack is sick, but there was one song in particular and I cannot think of what it was. It's fantastic. If I remember it, I'll bring it up. But I'll quickly go through my honorable mentions. As we mentioned with Skyfall, my other Bond song of choice for my honorable mentions is You Know My Name by Chris Cornell, talking about people who have passed on. That's just, it's such a different kind of Bond song, and it just goes so well in Casino Royale and everything. Like, I really just, from when I heard it, I'm like, this is fucking great. I have given the Bee Gees some Stayin' Alive for Saturday Night Fever. It's the classic of all classics. That whole soundtrack is one of the best-selling soundtracks of all time. That it's a song that completely just gets you into the groove of wanting to watch this film, with John Travolta strutting his stuff down the street. It's great. I have also put down Come What May from Moulin Rouge. And Moulin Rouge, another great musical that I really loved. And it's got a lot of, like, fantastic songs. But I think the way, like, Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman performed that song, especially in the film, like, it's so moving. Like, even thinking about it, I tear up a little bit, because it's just completely beautiful. And, yeah, I think that movie,
you know what,
gets Marcy? Forgotten about. Yes.
That song is on my honorable mentions as well.
Oh, well, there you go. I guess it doesn't get that forgotten about.
And it just,
No,
and to me, it just solidifies that Ewan McGregor needs to do more singing, because I love his voice on that song.
He really does. It's so beautiful. And high five for thinking on the same wavelength.
Yes.
Yeah, I almost feel like when people talk about songs from films, like, I don't feel like people bring up Moulin Rouge all that much. Okay, two more of my honorable mentions. Rock and Roll High School by the Ramones from Rock and Roll High School. It's just,
fuck yeah.
It's just a fucking, look, that's a great fucking movie. Thank you, Bede, for introducing it to me. But I just think Rock and Roll High School is such a fun Ramon song. And it's just so good in the way, because the whole film like is centered around the Ramones and going to see the Ramones. So you see them performing it, performing songs in just these very bizarre situations. It's great. I love it. I just think it's so cool. And the final film that I've, the final song I've picked in my honorable mentions, I'm going with Friends from Miami Connection as performed by Dragon Sound.
And, oh yeah, baby.
I did appear on Simon's podcast with this song.
Yes.
Look, I'm sorry, but that song has made my life since I've seen Miami Connection. I'm obsessed. It's a beautiful song. Your friends are forever. Okay. We've got loyalty, honesty, you know, okay. It's just a beautiful perfection of a just weird bloody song. All right, now my number one, which might be like zero surprise or maybe complete surprise. One of my favorite movies of all time is Frozen. So I am going with everybody's most annoying like Disney song, Let It Go, because I still love Let It Go.
Well, now they know.
I think it is just a wonderful, beautiful song. And it really, you know, it just, it's that kind of song that you listen to and you're like, you know what? I'm really overstressed right now. I'm going to let it go and be like Elsa, but maybe not shut in my ice castle. I'm letting all my problems go. I'm going to be myself, but I'm also going to make sure everyone can see me being myself. And it is performed.
Was literally playing on the TV earlier because randomly, by pure coincidence, my daughter wanted to put it on, and so I've like, it's just freshly, and I know the song like inside out because Frozen's been played to death here, and I still like it each time. So you're totally right. Yeah. Like it's one of those songs that it blew up, and it was like the song that represented just this huge movement that was Frozen. But I still think I just don't get sick of it. It just has that like emotional quality in her, like finding inner strength and stuff like that works so well.
Yeah. Props to your daughter for loving the Frozen. It's a beautiful, it's such a beautiful movie. I love Frozen. I love Frozen 2. I have so much Frozen like stuff. I have dolls and pops and everything. Like I'm obsessed. Okay. But it's the performance from Adele Dazeem. I mean, Idina Menzel I love it. I think, like, she has such a powerful voice and she knows exactly what she's doing. Mm. And she killed it with that. And geez, like, I think it is really, it probably is like my favorite movie song. And I will never get sick of it. Even when it was playing, like, constantly, I was singing it. I don't know if you remember, Bede, where it came out once. I saw the lyrics on a poster and I sat there and I sang the song in front of everybody at Kmart, which is kind of embarrassing, but I'm an idiot.
Indeed.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think I've had the chance to sing Let It Go at karaoke, so I'm going to have to line that up one day. I did try and learn the song on Just Dance. Not very well. But yeah, Frozen, Let It Go. I'm going to cry now because I love Frozen so much.
But what about you, buddy? What do you think of Let It Go?
Haven't seen Frozen, and Let It Go, ooh, by default, is just become this annoying song that is everywhere. So I'm sorry to disappoint you, Marcy, but I probably need to see the film to understand it, like how it's been used and why it's being sung and the power behind it. But outside of that, I just hear it everywhere. And
It's okay. I'm going to tie like, you to a chair fair, and you make don't, you don't. Sorry, Simon.
But like, you don't really... was it you that was saying that you don't tend to really watch, you don't not watch animated films, but you don't tend to really watch like the new ones that come out?
No, not really. I haven't seen so many animated films. If you name like the last 6 or 7 Disney or Pixar films, I probably haven't seen them. So
yeah, so like Spider-Verse was your like exception to the rule, sort of thing.
Well, yeah, I fucking love Spider-Man. Come on, I'm going to see that for sure.
But yeah, so I guess that kind of makes a bit more sense. You know, there's like, you know, you have these memories of these Disney films from when you're young, you know, in the 90s when you're younger and that, but I guess, obviously just came a point that you must have disconnected.
Now I'm trying to catch up on all like the other blind spots and they seem to be taking precedence, so.
Well, it's okay. Tie you to a chair, keep your eyes open, like Clockwork Orange style, make you watch Frozen and I'll hypnotize you so you love it.
Just Frozen 24 hours a day, seven days a week.
Yes. Well, to be fair, I could do that.
She told me to let it go. She told me to let it go.
I'm letting it go.
Yes.
I guess I'm in two frames. Well, before we do, I'm in tight of two frames of mind when it comes to let it go. Like, it definitely.
Do I need to punch you in the face? Because I will.
Well, it is a very overplayed song. But at the same time,
so
though, despite.
Others.
Yeah, well, that is true. Like, even though I've heard it like a billion zillion times, I get sick of it, it is still a good song. It's not one where I say, oh, it's a bad song. No, it is a good song. It's a... I'd rather not hear it for another billion times, but that's...
I'm going to play it on repeat next time I see you, just to piss you off.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, and like, to be fair, it wasn't a case of a film using a song more than once. Like, it is only once in the film. It just happened to be the film exploded, and then, like, and then it got played over.
Yeah, that is true. That is very
because true. The movie is fucking amazing.
This is true.
Yes.
Frozen for life.
Buddy, what are your honorable mentions? And then give us your number one favorite movie.
All right, I'm trying to whip through these super quick because I've got a massive list. All right, Don't You Forget About Me, Simple Minds from The Breakfast Club in 1985. Iconic moment at the end, fist up. The other one is If You Leave by OMD or Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. It was written for Pretty in Pink, another 1986 movie, and another Molly Ringwald movie as well. the next one is Lose Yourself by Eminem, which
I love that song so much.
Oscar for that, which he didn't even show up to receive because he was surprised that he was even going to win. So
he was too busy with Mom's Spaghetti.
That's right.
Yeah, I was busy
dry cleaning his jumper.
I beat you to it because I knew you were going to do it.
probably one of Eminem's best songs as well, and was specifically for that film. Then we're gonna go The Power of Love, which is written by Huey Lewis and the News for Back to the Future, another 1985 film. So a lot of these mid-80s, which is, I guess, nostalgia for kids that are born around that era, watching those films growing up in the 90s. The other one is My Heart Will Go On. From Celine Dion for Titanic, 1997. Saw that film in at the cinema. Yes. I was a part of the choir at the time at school, and that was one of the songs that we would sing. So, loved the Celine Dion song at the time.
Super tender song.
Yeah, yep. And Born Slippy Nux from Underground, which is from Trainspotting in 96. It was a B-side from Underground, but was never released on any of their albums. So the fact that it was on the Trainspotting soundtrack is what really blew it up and got it re-released as a single, which is what I was listening to before we started recording. And I was bopping along too. So even though it was like a song that was recorded before that, it was only on B-side and never released. So I feel like that can kind of make this list. The other one is... Everything is Awesome from Tegan and Sarah featuring Lonely Island from the Lego Movie. I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Aerosmith, but Armageddon. How Do I Live?
Oh, yes.
From Con Air, which is, fantastic.
I mean, I wish Nicolas Cage sung that song, but we can't always get what we want.
What's the artist?
Originally it's Leanne Rimes, but it was done, by Trisha Yearwood.
Yeah,
and that's the version in Con Air. But originally it was like a very young Leanne Rimes did that song.
14 years old she was at the time. And it was told that she was too young to kind of sing about that material. Mm. So they used Trisha Yearwood in the film version. And then they also had the Leanne Rimes version as well. Mm. All the Stars from Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd and Cesar from Black Panther, which is an absolute banger. Mm. And the last one I've got here is from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World soundtrack. One is Ramona, that was written by Beck, sung from Beck on the soundtrack. But obviously Michael Cera does that little rendition in the acoustic rendition in the film. And it's another one that I find myself just walking around randomly singing just because it's so easy to sing. And then obviously Black Sheep from Metric, which is also in the film, and specifically the Brie Larson version as well. I've got a bunch here that are like probably famous from being, or my recollection from being in the films more so than originally written for film. But yeah, I won't jump into those because I'll run out of time and I'm going to just spew everything here. But my number one, it's very hard. I've got two here because I didn't really order them. I've kind of got two here that are sitting here. One is City of Stars from La La Land, because I love La La Land as a film, and it's heartbreaking.
See the poster in the background there?
In the end, you can see the poster.
Oh, yeah, the poster's there. Guess who's never seen La La Land?
I'm going to tie your eyes. I'm going to tie you in the chair and then get your eyes out like a Clockwork Orange.
Yep. Oh, I still haven't too. So he's going to tie two people in the chair. Yep.
Yeah, it was Rob from RVC's Best Films of 2016 podcast back in circa 2017, January. You would have probably listened to then, Simon. But City of Stars is fantastic. I didn't want to not exclude that, but I went for this as number one, and it's Kenny Loggins, Danger Zone.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, ooh, no, no. And, I love that song so much.
And it's so funny to see, like, one of my favorite songs from or made for film is from Kenny Loggins. And then one of the songs I hate the most, Footloose,
was also made for
film. And that was also from Kenny Loggins.
I
can't believe
I didn't put that on my honorable mentions because I love Footloose. And I love Danger Zone. I love Kenny Loggins.
I love Danger Zone, and I also love Take My Breath Away. That was an unreal mention. Oh, God,
it's such a beautiful...
It's so good. And even Lady Gaga's Hold My Hand from Top Gun Maverick I've been listening to on repeat. Yeah, I feel like that's great as well. But Danger Zone, once again, Archer referencing it in pop culture, and just the fact that it can just kind of feel like I can sing it at any time. It pops up into my consciousness all the time. So yeah, I love Danger Zone. Excel.
They even actually, that song was actually one of the challenges for one of the pairs on the latest season of Lego Masters, where they had to create a Lego model of a song, and then Delta Goodrum had to come in and guess what the song was based on the Lego model. And one of them was Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins, and she guessed it. So that was pretty cool.
So cool.
Well, Danger Zone is a classic, and it's just one of those songs that as soon as it just grabs your attention right away, like the, and then you just, gets you in, and of course once that chorus hits you're just like singing and dancing along. It's it's definitely because Kenny Loggins did a lot of songs from movies throughout the 80s, but this is definitely the high point of all the ones he recorded during that period.
Yep, I love that drum part, and I guess as a drummer you might like that part as well, Simon.
Dude, like any of those like just epic kind of like it has some of that, like, even though it's a 90s film, it has some of that.
86.
It is 80s? Okay, so yeah. Okay, well, there you go. So it has that, like, 80s. There's something about, quote-unquote, canon snares and, like, very reverby kicks in the 80s that were, like, signature to action films. And so that just totally hits that bar.
And,
I just want to sing like all the Danger Zone and Take My Breath Away because Top Gun, like,
what a soundtrack.
I haven't seen Maverick yet, but having rewatched Top Gun recently, like, gosh, I love that movie. It's so ridiculous, but I love it. And the soundtrack and the way they use the songs, it's so perfect. Like Take My Breath Away, how it builds up between the two, and then it plays when they're fucking, like, it's beautiful.
Exactly.
Sorry, I had to add
that. They're making love, they're not fucking.
There was a bit of fucking there.
You went to her Danger Zone.
Yeah, that tongue action was a Danger Zone. I was like, ooh, they're really getting into this.
But, Cyber, what are your honorable mentions, and what is your number one favorite movie song?
Okay, so honorable mentions. This comes from my favorite movie of all time, being The Mask, and it is the song Cuban Pete.
Oh, yeah.
Chim chicka boom, chim chicka boom, chim chicka boom. Just absolute iconic scene, just perfect, just pure, like, just Jim Carrey flexibility and everything. So that's awesome. From a film that I just love extremely dearly. Another film I really love is Pick of Destiny, and it's the song Beezle Boss. So it's when Tenacious D faced down a Dave Grohl dressed as Satan. And that whole, and he has a triple kick drum kit, and just like, it's just bizarre and it's awesome and it's rocking and it's everything Tenacious D style. So I love that. Another one which just ties into this sort of like definitely to like an era. So the Queen of the Damned soundtrack was most of the songs that were written by Jonathan Davis from Korn, and then he got in guest singers. What's weird though is that, like, because of, I don't know, certain legalities in the film, it's him performing the songs, but on the soundtrack, it's the guest singers. And one of the standouts for me is System. So it's so Jonathan Davis wrote the song, but it features Chester Bennington of Linkin Park, RIP. So here's another sad note for this episode. And it just, he just has like a really awesome like growl on that song. So yeah, just loving that. Was one of those ones where I think just it arrived at the perfect time. It's kind of like, I was definitely more obsessed with the soundtrack rather than the film, but that kind of like made the film.
There
for
were
me.
A lot that were like that. I just got to say, so many movies that weren't that great, but the soundtracks were fucking sick.
Soundtracks, yeah.
Husband Night, baby.
It was good that you shouted out Moulin Rouge before, because I had Come What May on there, which I mentioned, but I also had Lady Marmalade. Maya, Little Kim, Pink, yes, and Christina Aguilera. That just kicks ass. Like, it almost made it to my top three when I re-listened before. I was just like, it's just on point in every single way that they showcases their abilities. The film clip, particularly at the time, to a very impressionable year 8, year 9 Simon. I was just like, I'm liking this film clip. So
I wonder why.
If you cast your mind back. Yeah. Then we go to, which is somewhat a hot take on my part. I love both Charlie and Chocolate Factories. I like the newer one better, which is most people would say is a no-no, but I do. And the song, I love the music in it. Danny Elfman does exceptional work with Tim Burton, but particularly the song Augustus Gloop, awesome. Just like everything about it is just wild and wacky, and just it's always got that Danny Elfman circusy element to it. Tron Legacy, the Tron soundtrack, is my favorite film soundtrack of all time. It's very hard to pick a particular song. It's so good because I just like lose myself in it. So I can't really pick a particular song.
How do you pick just one when they're all amazing?
Yeah. And so I was going through it, and then the one called Recognizer has definitely some of the emotional points in it that stand out to me. Buddy mentioned Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. I have a song from that, and it's I'm So Sad, So Very, Very Sad by Crash and the Boys, which is a 4-second song. And I think that is hilarious and just a cool moment in the film. Casting mine back to some other animated classics, right up there, just under Aladdin for me, is The Lion King, and it's Be Prepared. And Jeremy Irons kills it as Scar, kills it in that song.
He doesn't
visually
sing
amazing.
That song. He doesn't
No, he does
sing
that song.
He doesn't. He does sing that. He song. Didn't sing any songs. Or am I thinking of
he
the wrong
that
thing?
Song.
I'm positive.
I think you're probably thinking Matthew Broderick as Simba. He didn't sing any of the songs.
Oh,
but
maybe
Jeremy Irons did. Yeah,
Jeremy Irons didn't sing in that. Oh, I could be confusing it with someone else.
He
but
did
I need
sing.
To.
Yeah. And the thing is,
because
like,
it sounds like
you can totally tell that it's. It definitely sounds like, yeah. And I looked it up beforehand just to make sure, because I knew there was some of that. But he definitely did sing that song. Such an awesome moment that was then completely, absolutely shat on with the quote-unquote real-life remake. Just the most disappointing new version of that song. Terrible.
Genitals. Then
exactly. And then, to cap it off, I had POD did the song Sleeping Awake for Matrix Reloaded. I really love that. That's a good showcase of that band's sound as well. The film clip ties in. Awesome. And then this last one isn't technically from the film, but there's a album called Nightmare Revisited, and it's like cover versions of Nightmare Before Christmas songs. And Korn did Kidnap the Santa Claus cover, and it absolutely kicks ass. Because I love the original film, obviously love the band, and then that together is awesome. So they're my honorable mentions.
I think Fall Out Boy do What's This as well.
Yes.
I need to clarify something. Cool. Like, I'm sorry to cut you off, because I was looking this up.
Okay.
Jeremy Irons sang the first 2/3 of the song, but Jim Cummings sang the third.
There you go.
That is.
I knew there was something weird with that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I cut you off. Please continue. I swear.
Can you imagine if they're like actually recording in one take and he just pushes him out the way? Like, I got this. Boom.
Well, he pretty much was like, I'm and they had to get someone else.
And then
else
he's
in.
Like, don't turn your back on me, Scott.
But actually, yeah. I think what I got confused with was A Nightmare Before Christmas, because you literally just mentioned it. Chris Sarandon did not sing in that. I think it was Danny Elfman who sang as Jack Skellington.
Yes.
There
yes,
we go. Yes. I don't know how I got those very two cool confused, but whatever. Sorry, Simon.
All good, all good. But my number one, through what I think would have to be my favorite musical, quote-unquote musical film, it's Rock Got No Reason from School of Rock. Woo-wee! He just spun my head around. Said recess is in session. Two and two make five. And now, baby, oh, I'm alive. Oh, yeah! The finale performance of the band in front of the parents and the crowd. There's just something about, like, I mean, the song itself rocks anyway. It's like the build up of the fact that they're like writing this and they're learning the history and stuff. But just more the fact there's that extra emotional element in the film, because it's kind of like, particularly for the guitarist Zach, and his dad is just like, you know, no, you can't play music, it'll get you nowhere. And then he just shreds a solo in front of him and his dad's impressed. I'm like, this is cool. Like, it just kind of like spoke to all those people, where it's just kind of like that generational difference of, like, you know, you can't pursue things that you know, you have to get a job and do, you know, follow the path and do the right thing. And it's like, no, I'm going to do what do I love. And just that, just in that song, on top of just Jack Black being Jack Black and just being awesome, representing rock. And yeah, just the total vibe, super rewatchable film, and a great way to end it.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love School of Rock, and that, like, the songs in it are great. Like, just everything about it is great, but it is such a good just way to kind of wrap up that film with that. Oh, it's just so good. Really is.
Nice. I guess we'll get to my list. No, Marcy, I didn't have 19 songs on my list. I had a very close 19 songs on my list. All right. Here are my honorable mentions before I go to my number one favorite movie song. First up, of course, is two songs, one from Batman Forever and one from Batman and Robin. The first up being Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me by U2 from
Batman
Forever.
Yeah, it's a fucking sick song. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Great film clip too.
Also, The End Is the Beginning Is the End by Smashing Pumpkins from Batman and Robin.
Those two movies had fucking great soundtracks.
Yep.
Oh, fuck yeah. Also, speaking of another movie that the movie is not good, but the soundtrack is kick-ass, the song No Shelter by Rage Against the Machine from the Godzilla soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Also has a great soundtrack. Also has Jamiroquai, Deeper Underground.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would also be an honorable mention too, that one. Also, Flashdance, What a Feeling by Irene Cara from Flashdance.
How did I not even remember that? And we were like going through all those videos like a few months back. How did I not even think of that? I feel stupid.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't think of my next pick, Marcy, because it's one of your favorite singers, Against All Odds by Phil Collins.
I know.
Against All Odds.
I completely didn't even think. I'm like, how did I not pick a Phil Collins song? Like, I have sang that song at karaoke, for fuck's sake. Like, it was emotional, all right? It was.
Also, speaking of 80s cheese, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship from Mannequin.
Nothing's gonna stop us now. Sorry, just like, I love that song.
And I do have a Bond theme on my honorable mentions, and I'm surprised it did not feature on anyone else's, and that is A View to a Kill by Duran Duran from A View to a Kill.
Look, I was thinking about a lot of those ones, but I realized I couldn't just have Bond songs on my list.
Duran Duran's one of my favorite bands, but every time I listen to A View to the Kill, I just want to listen to other Duran Duran songs. So that's why I don't have it on any of my lists, because there's like 10 plus more other songs I'd rather listen to.
Oh my God, so, it's so cool. Like, we karaoke'd that too, Bede.
It is a great theme though.
Also, Goonies, also my next one is Goonies Are Good Enough by Sydney Lauper from the Goonies. Love that film. It's one of my childhood favorites, and I just love the song. Marcy, I'm surprised you didn't pick this song, A Wicked Game by Chris Isaak from Wild at Heart.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I kind of like forgot, really, because the song kind of, the way it features with it is, I don't really associate that as being a song in a movie or from a movie.
Yeah, I think it's because, like, they don't really show clips of this movie in the actual music video.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Baby Did a Bad Bad Thing was, around with Eyes Wide Shut, like, that film, that being in the trailer or whatever, like, that reignited that song. But you don't really associate it as much as being, like, a movie, like, song.
Mm. Yeah. But next up is Slice of Heaven by David Dobham and Herbs from Foot Rot Flats, A Dog's Tale. Because, I mean, it's New Zealand's national anthem, that song. And it's just a kick-ass song. I think you'll like the inclusion of this song, Marcy. Django by Louis Bakalov from the original 60s version of Django, starring Franco Nero.
Yeah, I did think about that and I didn't write it down, so I'm an idiot.
But it's also included in Django Unchained as well. So most people would probably, also, Mad World by Michael Andrews and Gary Jules from Donnie Darko. Such a beautiful cover of that song. Oh, sorry, I forgot this one. Wind Beneath My Wings by Bette Midler.
Oh my God, Beaches. From Beaches. Of course.
That's a beautiful, moving song, that one. Also, I'm surprised this didn't feature on anyone else's list. Falling Slowly by Glenn Hansard and Marquette Egova from Once.
Oh my God. How did I not even think of Once?
Maybe because
I've seen it once, because I cannot bring myself to watch it again because it's so beautiful and I cry. But that whole movie could just, those songs are, they're just,
Indeed. Next up, of course, is, I have a Madonna song on my list, on my honorable mentions, and that is This Used to Be My Playground from A League of Their Own, which is probably one of Madonna's more underrated songs. Another song from a horror film, Cry Little Sister from The Lost Boys.
Oh, Lost Boys, what a movie. And what a soundtrack as well. Banger soundtrack. Yeah.
And of course it has the classic team-up of INXS and Jimmy Barnes on Good Time
as well. Why did none of us be like the saxophone solo from Saxophone Sweaty Man?
he was a very close runner-up in the honorable mentions. Next up, of course,
you said you didn't have 20, and I feel like you've said 20 of them.
I've got two more to go, but you're interrupting me.
Shut up!
All right, next up, one of my last ones, is the song These Days by Powderfinger from the film Two Hands.
Yeah, boy. Great. Great film. Great song. Yep.
And my final honorable mention is We Don't Need Another Hero by Tina Turner from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
Hell yeah.
That one could have easily snuck into my top three. However, though, my number one favorite movie song of all time.
I know what it is. It's Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
Close, but not.
That wasn't even an honorable mention. How dare you?
But my number one is Purple Rain by Prince from Purple Rain.
Purple Rain, Purple Rain. Purple Rain, Purple Rain. Purple Rain, Purple Rain.
Great song.
There you go.
I honestly thought it was going to be Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, I completely forgot to
and
put
it wasn't
that
in your honorable mentions.
It should have been.
So, yeah, that's the hard thing about this, though. Like, this whole like task of just trying to go through all these films is I knew we'd do the list and I'd be like, oh, shit, forgot about this. Like, it's super hard.
But yeah, I mean, I completely forgot about Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but that's definitely an honorable mention for sure. But Purple Rain, as the song, I'm just going to say it right now, is Prince's ultimate masterpiece of a song. Like, it is a very long song, but it is absolutely powerful. The arrangement of it is just beautiful. Prince's vocals are amazing, particularly when, like it gets to the last half of the song where it's all instrumental and it's him just singing at a very high octave, like a lot of oohs in there as well. And it's just so moving. And when you kind of watch the song in the context of the movie it's played in, it really sort of amps up the emotion of the song as well. And it's just such a great song. I mean, the whole Purple Rain soundtrack is without a doubt one of the greatest soundtracks ever made. It's just every song on that album is an absolute banger. And another one I could have easily have put on this list could have been I Would Die For You, or even like Let's Go Crazy, because those two songs are amazing. And of course, When Doves Cry. Purple Rain for me is just a masterpiece of a song. And what I can truly say without a shred of doubt in my mind, one of the greatest songs ever written.
Now, I know the song very well. I haven't seen the film though, so I need to do that.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like knowing, because that's where I first heard the song was when it was used in the film, when I watched it.
Mm.
And that, of course, just really elevated it. But the whole song, and I'm not talking, listen to the whole, like, almost, I think it's like 6, 7, or 8 minutes long, the whole version, but it's just a complete masterpiece from beginning to end. There's no fault in that song at all.
Mm, no, it is. Cool. And I can't believe I forgot, like, to say, hey, maybe the whole soundtrack to Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, because that was a fucking banger.
Yeah.
Even that version of When Doves Cry is kind of awesome, so.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's the thing is, like, I was sort of running out of time because I was on the Moulin Rouge train, and then I was like, oh, Romeo and Juliet, I've got to check out the soundtrack because I know that something's going to stick out, but I didn't get around to it. So, but that's a good, yeah, definitely remember, yeah, When Doves Cry was huge from that. Cool. These are quite interesting lists that we didn't have much in the way of, like, double ups. There's definitely a lot of films mentioned from this that I am yet to see. So, yeah, got some homework to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's, again, like, you know, from all of our lists, it is such a, just shows how versatile our lists are, that we have it from songs from so many different films, so many different genres, and they all kind of hit us in different ways, whether they're sort of very beautiful and sad, or if they're just really uplifting and have a massive beat to them. Like, all these songs are all fantastic. And, you know, I think, like, the fact that, you know, we have missed out on other songs that could have easily fitted in any of these other lists of ours.
I'm kind thinking of them, like, right now, thinking, God, I'm an idiot. I'm like, what about Night Call from Drive? Like, Jesus Christ, am I, like, brain dead when I made my list?
So I've got 8 songs here, and these, like, your caveat was they had to be, these songs had to be made for the film.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what my list went on, but if it wasn't made for the film, but the film, its inclusion in the film is just as iconic, I also did 8 songs, and Night Call by Kavinsky from Drive 2011 would be number one. It'd be number one and my favorite anything from movies lists 100%. So that was like the first one. I'm so glad you mentioned that, Marcy, because that would be the first one on my list. And the Drive soundtrack's like iconic.
It's so amazing. It really is.
Yeah, and then the other one would have been Unchained Melody from the Righteous Brothers. From Ghost, 1990. My nan was a big Patrick Swayze fan, so we saw all those movies and just that scene, and then that song as well. Then I have 3 from the Beach soundtrack from 2000. Obviously weren't written for the movie. My recollection of them was from that, and was like Porcelain from Moby, Voices from Dario G, and Pure Shores from All Saints.
Pure Shores, yeah.
I just associate
greatest girl group song of all time.
Just with the beach and one iconic soundtrack, and there's a couple of others as well, but that's a whole awesome. Other list.
Well, I think that could be a wrap on this episode of the Super Podcast. And like I said, we've had some great lists on tonight's show. Probably a lot of homework for a lot of us who have not, you know, if songs we might have missed or we want to give a listen to, like, after this show or later on down the track, because, you know, maybe at some point we might have to do another one of these type of ones, or maybe on score soundtracks or something like that.
Yeah, I know. I think we did something like that, like, ages ago, but it's definitely worth a revisit, for sure.
Oh, for sure. Mm. And, as we're wrapping up, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners who have listened to this latest episode of the Super Podcast. Thank you all for listening to this one. And also thank you, Super Marcy, for being a very awesome co-host as per usual.
You're very welcome. I'm sorry I was such a just awful person. I'm taking over the mantle of terrible Aussie. Like, honestly, I don't know what I'm doing.
Indeed. I mean, how dare you, Marcy? It's meant to be my mantle. But and also thank you both, Buddy and Simon, for coming on the show and talking about all these songs with us.
Thanks for having us. It was awesome. It was great to kind of sit down and scroll through Apple Music and relive memories and try and kind of navigate what to include and what not to include. It's a lot of fun. I love making like music lists and playlists like this. So very cool.
Yeah, this has definitely been a great exercise as well. And then just wanted to discuss it, share and compare. This is almost just like in some way like a skewed version of my own podcast sort of thing. So I like the way that we can kind of like different podcasts can like cross over on the subject of music. So that's been very fun.
Definitely. Yes. And if we're all up for it, maybe we could create like a playlist on Spotify with all of our song selections. If anyone's up to creating something like that,
me and Simon, we're going to struggle with that because we're Apple nerds. Unfortunately, we're on the dark side. We work for the Emperor.
You're gonna have to make it on Apple Music then.
I think it might have to be up for you, Marcy, to do the Spotify list.
I don't have Spotify Premium anymore.
Just do the Spotify list and then do the Spotify list and then you do that. Like, there's a
playlist converter. Yep.
Right. So, yeah. Like, playlist converter. Yeah.
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 But before we end the episode, Marcy, where can people find us on the internet this week?
Yes. Well, I just want to say thank you to Buddy and Simon for joining us. It felt like I'd be rude if I didn't say thank you. but yes, as usual, everybody can find everything they need to know in the podcast show notes, or you can go to supermarcy.com. That is SUPERMARCEY.com. And yes, you can find the Super Network, the Super Podcast. I'm sure if you look it up, you'll find everything. You can find our link tree at the Super Network. You can find all our socials on there. So it's all there. And I can usually be found personally on the Twitter at supermarcy. And also, even though it's not related to music, but related to the movies, I'm on Letterboxd at super_Marcy, and you can check out all my funky lists and what weird shit I'm watching.
Awesome.
Yes.
And Buddy, where can people find you on the internet this week?
A lot of places. Let's try and do it quick. I'm on Twitter at BuddyWatson12. I have a podcast. It's called Radio Watson. Do that on over at Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, and all good podcast services. I'm also streaming at Buddy Watson. And that's where I do a lot of stuff. So there we go. Short and sharp, sweet and neat.
Awesome. And Simon, where can people find you on the internet this week?
So as you said, social style, like we're all on Twitter, so you can find me at Precise Path. And of course, you can check out my podcast, Take My Tone, at takemytone.com. And all the links for what you need are in there.
Awesome. And if people want to find me personally, they can find me on my Twitter page at twitter.com/BeachMine or my Letterboxd account at letterboxd.com/BeachMine. And of course, you can find all my work, all my reviews and columns over at supermarcy.com. And yep, that is a wrap on this latest episode of the Super Podcast. We hope you all once again had a good time listening to this episode and you want to go listen to a lot of songs afterwards. We'll see you all later. See you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Where did you come from? Mississippi. And your parents? Very wealthy. Where do they know? 6 feet under, but she was granted one more star. The Compton of the Sacred Heart. When did you get here? 1920. How old are you? Don't remember. Then what happened? I met Amos, then he stole my heart away, convinced me to all of one day.
I wonder where Mary is. Who called on you? So simple.
My ex-boyfriend.
Why'd you shoot him?
I was leaving.
Was he angry?
Like a madman. You like that friend? Move along. She knew she was doing wrong.
Then you tried it.
He came toward me.
With a pistol.
From my bureau.
Did you find him?
Why?
tiger, tiger. He has strength and she has none. But yet we both reach for the gun. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, we both. Oh yes, we both. Oh yes, we both reach for the gun. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, we both. Oh yes, oh yes, understandable, understandable. Yes, it's perfectly understandable. Comprehensible, comprehensible. Not a bit reprehensible. It's so defensible.
How are you feeling?
Very frightened.
How are you sorry?
Are you kidding?
What's the patient?
All I say is, don't mind you just a track. I give my life to bring it back. And stay away from jazz and liquor. And the men who play for fun. That's the force that came upon me. And we both reach for the gun.
The Super Network is proudly sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Why would you have a VPN in this day and age? Well, a lot of people are quite concerned about tracking and their online privacy, and using a VPN ensures that you are safe and secure online. Surfshark VPN provides a lot of extra added layers of security, as well as ad blocker and a kill switch if your information is ever compromised. A great bonus feature with having Surfshark is something is not available on your streaming service in your country. You just pop on that Surfshark VPN and you can probably find so much more streaming in different countries. If you want to find something like Masters of Horror, it is available on Tubi. So just select the correct country and you'll be able to watch such a great and fantastic show. Surfshark VPN is one of the most reliable and cheapest of the VPNs out there, with up to 81% off offer when you subscribe for 24 months. Please use the link surfshark.deals/supernetwork to take advantage of this amazing deal. You can also find the link in the show notes. Thank you, Surfshark. Surfy shark do 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 do. Surfy shark do 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 do. And now back to the show.